Hey, this is Jordan Harbinger. I used to host the Art of Charm podcast, but now it's time for something new. The Jordan Harbinger Show. Did you know you can be entertained and actually get a boost in your life at the same time? On this show, we dig into the superpowers of the world's most interesting thinkers and top talents. Then we deliver them to you right into your ears. But I get it. We're not all superheroes. That's why we give you their blueprint so you can live what you listen. After 1,000 interviews, learning 5 languages, and getting arrested in a country that doesn't even exist anymore, I'm now more ready than ever to introduce you to the Jordan Harbinger Show. Listen free to The Jordan Harbinger Show, available on Apple Podcasts, PodcastOne.com, and the Podcast One app.
I can't hear anything. Is that bad?
Can't hear anything.
Can you hear any, am yeah, I supposed to hear something?
Stuff. You should be hearing stuff. Hearing yeah, stuff. Hey, Fletcher.
I've got nothing on my cans.
Nothing in the cans.
Nothing in the cans.
Mr. Gillette has nothing in the cans.
Why are you just smiling? Because I got 3 seconds. Give me something in the cans.
Oh, you can't start. He hasn't got any sound in his cans.
Let's go.
Matt! Matt!
What's happening?
Nothing. Everything's fine.
And why is he just smiling?
Brothers and sisters, welcome to Penn Sunday School, starring Penn Jillette. My name is Michael Godot, and along with Matt Donnelly, we are broadcasting from the show Creator Studios in Las Vegas. This week, Penn is gearing up to become a Cirque du Soleil honor. Godot is back from Romania. Matt's kids are out of town, so he saw a lot of movies. It's been a good week. Here he is preaching love, Mr. Penn Jillette.
Oh, boy, that was hectic, wasn't it?
Oh, my gosh,
there
guys.
There was peeing, putting sweatshirts on, getting my headphones to work. Oh, my goodness.
Loud. We got a lot going on.
We got it all. Okay? We get it all together. We get it all together.
Just in time.
I also can't lift my arms up.
Why not?
I can't lift them up. I decided that although my weight was pretty stabilized, you know, on the Cray-Ray diet, I mean, I'm up, okay, I guess I'm up 15 pounds from where I should be ideally over 3 years. Come on, my birthday, which will be March 5th, if you want to send a card.
Okay.
What's that, next Monday or something?
Coming up.
Yeah, Tuesday. Week for Monday.
Monday.
I will have been 3 years at my target weight, which is astonishing. Most people put weight back on.
Yep.
But I have, I'm really about 15 pounds where
I'm
should
about
be.
About 15 pounds where I should be.
Yep.
About and, time to hit it again.
Yeah, and I did hit it again, but then I had this crazy week and put a few pounds back on. But I decided that I wanted to start exercising again. Because I thought I needed a little more stamina, a little more strength. So I was going to just go to my 7 minutes a day, you know, when I call the New York Times 7 minute workout. But instead, I got in touch with our dear friend Jason Garfield and said to him, Jason, here's a few things. I'm going to do my 7 minute workout a day, but since you spend all your time studying this and since you're a friend of mine, and what would you think? What if I gave you 7 minutes a day? And he went and ruminated. You know how Jason
can ruminate.
Obsessed with stuff.
That man can chew.
he can't two things though. He came back to me and said, "How about you give me 14 minutes every other day?"
Wow! And I hope you didn't make that deal.
I did make that deal. Is that a bad deal?
Yeah.
Why?
Because Jason Garfield, he's going to injure you in 14 minutes. Seven, you probably wouldn't be as hurt as badly.
Yeah, that's just not true.
No. Okay.
We'll get to that. And then I told him that I wanted it to not cycle on the same day. So I said, give me four. He wanted to do Monday, right. Wednesday, Friday, Saturday, Sunday off.
Okay.
That's what he wanted. And I renegotiated foolishly for every other day, always every other day, four things. And then they'd rotate in. So it would never be the same day. So I've done my first week. So I have, they all have different names. Let me just tell you what I got here. It's the Garfield Customized 14-Minute Workout Day 1, the overall How Do You Do.
Are we allowed to sign up for this? Like, huh? Can we join?
The Garfield Customized 14-Minute Workout Day 2, the Arm Fucker. Garfield Customized 14-Minute Workout Day 3, the Leg and Heart Fucker. Garfield Customized 7-Minute Day 4. Day 4 is 7 minutes, Satan's Army. And then I asked him specially. I said, "This uses two weights." to 20, in my case, 20-pound weights.
20-pound dumbbells, yeah.
That's all he uses.
Kettlebells or dumbbells?
What's that?
Kettlebells or dumbbells?
Dumbbells.
Okay.
He does not like, don't make kettlebells to him.
Okay.
He does not like kettlebells. I believe it was his nickname in gym
class. He caught us calling him that.
I believe he says dumbbells for dumbbells. So Penn is using dumbbells.
Yep. And then he has, I asked for this specially, because I said sometimes I'm in hotel rooms, and I can't stomp on the floor.
Yeah.
And I also can't, I won't have weights with me.
Yeah.
And I'm not going to a goddamn gym. So he got Garfield's customized 14-minute workout hotel day, the courteous and considerate hotel guest workout.
I love this. I want in on this.
Well, I can just send it to you. Do you want to hear what they are?
Yes.
The overall, how do you do? Now, I use
my... Does Jason care that you were going to talk about this and give us away or anything like that?
Who cares? What's he going to do, beat me up? He probably would like this.
Yeah.
Okay.
He's going to wait till after an arm day and then just punch you in the mouth.
Yeah, exactly. He knows that you won't be able to
lift your arms that even block his...
Head blow.
So this is all done. This is all done. I have my 7-minute workout app that does 30 seconds, 10 seconds rest, 30 seconds, 10 seconds rest, right?
Yeah.
That's the way those are done. Mm-hmm. So I put that on and I ignore what they say and instead read what he said.
Got it.
Here we go. So this is what I do for 14 minutes. High knee sprints, that's 30 seconds, push-ups, then squats, then bicep curls, then tricep.
You do it his way, right?
Yep. Not slow motion.
You don't do it.
Just 1 second up, 1 second down.
Okay.
Tricep overhead extensions, high knee sprints, squats, high knee sprints, 15 leg lifts followed by a plank until failure. No rest in between leg lifts and plank. After plank failure, rest 20 seconds, then do it again. Repeat total of 3 times. Oh, I didn't do that. I didn't do all those. Okay. And that's supposed to take 14 minutes.
Wow.
Now, the first time through...
I'm positive with my plank failures, I can cut off about 2 minutes off of that.
Yeah. Well, that's precisely what I did.
Precisely what I did. I know I can do it in 12.
So that's the overall... I did. First day, I came in at 11. And then the Garfield customized 14-minute workout day 2, which I have done.
Mm-hmm.
High knee sprints, squats, push-ups, bicep curls, triceps, knee-high sprints, bicep curls, triceps, 15 leg lifts followed by plank until failure, high knee sprints, push-ups, bicep curls, tricep overhead extensions, high knee sprints, push-ups. That's day 2. Now, day 3 I've not done yet.
Okay.
Because I had to do the hotel. Because I was in L.A. High knee sprints, squats, wall sit, step up on the chair, 15 knee lift followed by plank to failure.
High knee sprints are in place?
Yes. High knee sprints, squats, wall sit, step up on a chair, 15 leg lifts followed by plank to failure. High knee sprints, squats, step up on a chair, wall sit, squats, knee high sprints.
You do coke and make terrible decisions for 1 minute. Yeah.
And then day 4, which is only 7 minutes, which I did this morning. To the 7 minutes this morning, 4 sets of bicep curls, 1 second up, 4 seconds down, 30-second rest, aim for 8 to 10 reps per set, then increase weight once you can. Get 10 reps. Once you can get 10 reps on all 4 sets, go to total and complete failure and beyond. Yeah. Total and complete failure is something I'm very good at, but not in this particular exercise.
Yeah.
4 sets of overhead tricep extensions, one other, the same thing, and that's just those 2 things. For the Satan's Army. Then for the hotel room, this is the customized happy. Step up onto chair, squats, wall sit, push-ups, 15 leg lifts followed by Spider-Man planks. Those are lifting your legs up.
Yeah.
Wall sit, squats, up onto chair, push-ups, 15 leg lifts followed by Spider-Man planks, chair dips, squats, step up on a chair, push-up, squats, 15 leg lifts followed by Spider-Man planks. All exercises should be performed with minimal momentum. For example, the bottom of a squat should not bounce, but rather come to a smooth and controlled stop, then return to the starting position without locking out the joints.
He's big on that.
That's what makes it terrible.
Yes.
Constant tension of the muscles at all time. Speed should be only as fast you can maintain this kind of control. 1 second up, 1 second down should be achievable with this kind of control. It's not a race to see how many reps you can fit in within 30 seconds. It's a test to see how many you can execute properly within 30 seconds. Speed can increase in between reps, but the speed of the reps should not increase. For exercises like high knee sprints, those are approved for speed. Just be careful to minimize the impact of each landing by cushioning it with the use of your muscles for a temporary controlled landing before pushing off again. Try to be light on your toes with spring in your step and don't come crashing down with each step. The bicep curls and tricep curls on days 1 and 2 use the same form that I taught you, just not with slow negatives. If you can go nonstop for the whole 30 seconds with ease, then increase the weight of the dumbbells on those. And I've gone through one set of 4 of those, but 3 was replaced with the hotel.
Is this all in one email?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. Forward it to me.
Send it to both of us.
I'm in. We'll do it.
It's pretty good.
I'm in.
I'm going to do the hotel one all the time. By the way, and this is why you can't lift up your arms.
By the way, I can't lift up my arms. It was just in seven and a half minutes, he made it so I can't lift my arms. And nothing in between was particularly hard.
Yeah.
But then brushing my teeth afterwards was wicked hard.
Try to explain that to your dentist. Be like, no, normally I would, but I've just been working out again.
I can't floss.
I can't do it. I just want to say a really, heartfelt, special acknowledgement of our listeners. Because last week, you know, joking around, Penn and Teller below Macaroni and Cheese, number 33 on the duo list. Yeah. I was not even on the list of improvisers.
Yeah.
And Goudeau was number 12 on the clown list, right?
Yep.
And so as of today, Penn and Teller number 20 on the list.
Very nice.
Wow.
Matt Donnelly and Paul Mattingly are now the number 1 and 2 improvisers on record.com. And Michael Goudeau is still number 12 on the clown list.
This is an outrage.
Well, you were above where you should have been.
Absolutely.
But oh, I think I was below where I should have been.
I'm not surprised.
I like that our listeners felt that his ranking was accurate.
Yeah.
Like, yeah, leave him there.
Yeah.
Everyone else got a boost.
I didn't need a boost from our desperate fans. What are like you sad loser clowns.
What are we now between?
Oh, I gotta look.
Huh? Look that up there.
If anybody wants to set up a broadcast engineer list.
By the way, at number 1, it still says Matt Donnelly added by Matt Donnelly, so it's really funny.
good. That's really good. That is fabulous. But we got to hear what we are between now.
Yeah.
Because what you're between is more important than where you are in ranking.
Yeah, I shouldn't be higher than Captain Kangaroo.
No, that's, you should.
You know what I mean? I'm set in place.
Also, yeah. Captain Kangaroo was really high all the time.
Yeah,
no one is higher than Captain Kangaroo.
When your name is Captain Kangaroo, you have been...
Oh, this is not bad. You're just above Lucy and Ethel.
Good, perfect.
And just below Laurel and Hardy.
Oh, yeah. We should be below Laurel and Hardy.
Now, you guys are all just below mashed potatoes and gravy, movies and popcorn.
Okay. Well, I think those are accurate as well.
And SpongeBob and Patrick. So
I believe we are right where we belong.
There you go.
I believe that the free market needed a little nudge from Sunday school, but everything was corrected and did well.
You're finally above Thelma and Louise and fish and chips, which is good.
Thelma and Louise and fish and chips are very similar to one another. You know what I mean? That's clustered.
Yeah.
Should be clustered.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
I do like fish and chips very much. You know, I want to get to this. Moxie came home. I'm not going to address, just so you know.
Yeah.
You don't need to hear what I have to say about this. I'm not going to address school shootings in the U.S. I'm not going to address the NRA or the brave students in Florida who are entering the political arena to accomplish what they think should be accomplished. I'm not going to talk about the how effective that will be or will not be. My opinion, I don't think, has any sort of special validity. But I do want to address this. Mox came home from school. I haven't talked to her since this because I was away.
Right.
But my wife reports that Moxie came home from school having been through a drill of what to do during a school emergency.
Yikes.
Okay. And it was how to get to exits and be orderly and this kind of – it was duck and cover, essentially. You know, it was just the 50s atomic bomb stuff. And they also had stuff in it, which I think is really interesting because – this hasn't happened at all. Don't use your cell phones. You could detonate bombs. That was one of the things they were taught.
What?
Huh. Don't use your cell phones. You could detonate bombs. And Moxie was, needless to say, a little upset by that.
Sure. Yes.
And Emily asked me if I would talk to her, and I intend to. I'm not going to talk. I haven't talked to her yet, but I intend to tell her.
We have like a deadline with April? What are we looking at?
I think I'll talk to her this afternoon. Okay. And I was going to tell her, first of all, this is just religion. You know, this is something that everybody around you going to believe, around you is going to believe. There should be a verb to be in there.
Sure.
And you don't have to, you know, which is a lesson I teach my children really, really often. You
right.
know, a lot of the students around you believe that Jesus Christ is Lord, and mm-hmm. that's fine, but you don't have to believe it.
Right.
You know, and no matter how much and how many of those people believe it, you don't need to. You don't need to have faith. You can just go. And you don't need to ridicule them, although it's fine. And they won't all attack you for your beliefs, although some will. And that's all fine. That's all dialogue. And if somebody makes a case for you wanting to go to church or something, well, I'll take you.
Right.
Or you can go with them. You know, it's all open. But you don't need to believe this just because most other people do. And also, you don't need to believe you're in jeopardy. Because if we look at the numbers, what I worry about, what I worry about with children is first poisons, second swimming pools, then cars.
Right.
Those are the three stages of children. As a parent, you're working about poisoning up until 3 years old, mm-hmm. drowning from 3 to 8. Then I don't know what you're worried about from 8 to probably bad drugs of some sort. And then when you get to 16, you worry about cars.
Yeah.
Because they're inexperienced. Mm-hmm. And so the thing I can do most to protect my children to get them to 21 is to work for self-driving cars.
Right.
And then if they are going to drive themselves, to make sure they are trained as best they can and don't get carried away, drive fast, so on, drive while impeded. Hope they grow up to drive better than their father and a lot better than their Uncle Teller. That's all we're going for here. But I got to thinking what I would want children taught in school about school shooting or in general. And this is what I would like them to be taught. I would like there to be a special little moment for the children after a school shooting that goes like this. You are really safe, completely safe. A lot of people love you, care about you, and are protecting you. And most people are really, really good. You have nothing to worry about. Mm-hmm. That would be the drill that I would like to have for them. And that's what I'm going to say to Moxie after her drill from the school.
Right.
Which the drill from the school is essentially monsters are out to get you all the time. And here's the futile things you can do to try to protect yourself. I don't know if that's the right message I want to teach. So that's what I want to teach. You are safe. There are many people who love you and protect you. And most people are good.
Yeah.
You have nothing to worry about. But I think that parents come in. I talked a lot about this other times with disasters of what you tell your children. And I think the suffering that we do when we read about shootings and the fears that we have, I think we need to be grown-ups and not pass those on to our children. Because our particular fear about our children's safety, first of all, the stuff they're teaching them isn't going to do any good, and it's never going to come up.
I'm also particularly bothered by the cell phone might set off bombs thing.
Mm-hmm.
That feels like a separate thing to me. And I don't want to, like, everything you're saying is very valid and important. Separately, it feels cheap. I don't know. Like, the cell phone thing, the idea that, like, if something actually is going down and these kids are going to hide in, like, a closet in the back of the classroom after they've locked off or boarded off their, mm-hmm. their doors, right? That they're not going to text or call their loved ones because they might set off a bomb.
Or the police.
Yeah.
To tell them where things are happening.
Right.
It's like the liquids on the airlines. It's just not happening, folks.
And that's the thing. It's like, and so, like, if you're the idea that something like that were to go down and that person deprives themselves of possibly communicating their last moments to people they love.
Right. But this is all predicated on something very unlikely.
Yeah.
Very unlikely.
Right.
We have to remember that about 4,000 people a week are dying of the flu.
Yeah.
Okay. So if there's a school shooting, yeah. the best thing you can do is run out and get a flu shot. That's the safest thing you can do.
Yeah.
Once you've hidden in the closet, yeah. if you had flu vaccine in the closet,
yeah.
you would do more good. and this is, I'm not, come on. Before you even touch your computer, yeah. shut up. Yeah. I'm not saying that the NRA is right, and what about this, what about that. I'm not saying that one school shooting is acceptable. Yeah. I'm not saying these people died for freedom. Shut up. Do not write that email to Reddy Rich. I don't want to hear it. What I am saying is, when I sit down to think, how can I best protect my children, and I look at the numbers, flu vaccine is higher up than don't use your cell phone during a disaster.
Yeah.
It's just higher up.
Right.
This flu is wicked deadly. As a matter of fact, Glenn had it.
Wow.
Glenn had the flu. It was horrible. But he said, wow, you know, it only lasted for 2 or 3 days.
Right.
I said, did you get the flu shot? He said, yes. I said, see, it worked. It makes it less severe.
I got the flu shot, and I don't know if I had the, I don't think I had the flu. But I had a lingering cold, like a sinus congestion thing. I got a flu shot. It knocked me the fuck out for a day. Like, I was just super tired.
The flu shot?
Yeah, for some reason, I slept like a... I mean, I also am under a really stressful work environment right now, so maybe I just kind of took cues. Yeah, I'm certainly not a good... This is a one person... This is a one very flawed lab rat.
This isn't even a data point, really.
No. I'm really just wasting everyone's time.
You're just a fly speck on the chart.
I just want to hear my voice.
Okay.
But everything went away. Like, I was like a cold that I've been fighting for weeks. I did the flu shot, and then after a day, I was like feeling better than ever.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, you know, I mean, when you're talking about 4,000 people dying,
yeah,
10% helping, 30% helping is a big help.
Yeah, I have a friend who's a pharmacist who's really on a big jag right now, trying to get everyone to get their flu shots, because he's saying it's what he's seeing is it's unusual.
Really high,
what he's seeing this winter is unusual.
Yeah, my doctor said that most of the visits to his office are now flu.
Wow.
So it's a bad thing.
Yeah.
And but you know, it's not something television is good at covering.
No.
They're just not good at covering it. And not for moral reasons, not because they're bad, but just because it doesn't make good pictures.
Yeah.
You know, just doesn't make as good of pictures as other things.
Or do you think big pharmaceuticals keeping them from putting it on the air because they need people sick so they can sell? I'm kidding. I'm totally kidding.
I know you're kidding. I was just wondering where it was going to go. It seemed like there's no place out of that joke.
We're trying to stop people from getting flu shots because then they would get flu shots and...
No, oh, wait a minute. Wait a minute.
We
could sell them the flu shots. We didn't sell them.
It is amazing that aspect of it. It is amazing the amount of arguments people get to not get flu shots.
It's impressive.
No, it's, I mean, like, for something that's not... What I mean is, like, for something that's, like, not... that doesn't do any... You know what I mean? Like, you get a flu shot, you might... get a little, you might feel a little sick for a couple of days.
But nobody does.
Nobody does. And that's like, so when you talk about like that one, it's like the idea that like, my arm might hurt and I might kind of have a sniffle for a
Some
day.
People have a...
For big pharma, fuck you. Like, I don't understand the huge argument. Like, there's a lot of argument that go into people who don't want to get it.
And I think there are a dozen people a year killed by a reaction to it.
Yeah.
No, it's not that high, is it?
You don't think it's, I think it's probably a dozen.
No,
it might be lower than that, but it's
correct order of magnitude.
4,000.
I'm not sure it is.
You think?
I think it's one order of magnitude up from where it should be.
You think it's 4?
Yeah.
Instead of 14?
Yeah.
No, maybe.
I think so.
Now we're going to argue orders of magnitude. really, it must be sweeps week at Penn Sunday School.
What I really want to argue about is don't use your cell phone.
Okay, go ahead.
Oh yeah, go.
I'm for that. For the same reason that I'm for This Is Your Brain on Drugs.
You like the cell phone argument.
Quickest way for me to learn that government was full of it when I was a kid.
Oh, I see. You think that teaches children that government is crazy?
Right.
Yeah, I'm not sure.
Oh, that's good. It's a nice little flag. Like, everything you're learning is basically useless bullshit.
I have a friend who's a very, very, very strong atheist.
Mm-hmm.
And he tried very hard. He lost. His wife prevailed. He wanted to send his daughter to Catholic school.
Uh-huh.
And the most intense Catholic school possible. because he said that's what made him an atheist and forged his atheism.
Yeah.
I think that's crazy thinking.
I think it's crazy thinking, too. I've had other friends who express similar options, and I guess, like, that. And honestly, like, from the comedy or improv comedy background, I hate a lot of improv education, like, as old schools, like Second City and stuff like that. Like, they insist, like, if they went this one direction, hit a mistake, turned around, and then made this other decision, they make their education do the same thing. Like, it's like a ritual. Yeah. Like, we have to learn this thing so you can break those rules later. And you're like, well, then if we... What are we teaching people? You know, I don't understand the idea that we need to replicate your path to enlightenment in order to be enlightened.
Oh, very good.
Aha, I'll do you. There you go. I said something real nice. Fought off with a racial stereotype. Good job, Matt.
And they say, always go to the racial stereotype.
Exactly. That's it. It always ends. That's where all comedy ends.
My schedule has been a little goofy, as you know. Mm-hmm. Tuesday night, we put in Piff the Magic Dragon into the live show. It was amazing. There were people in the audience, a couple, who were wearing Piff the Magic Dragon T-shirts.
Oh.
Who came to see Penn and Teller, then the next night had tickets for Piff, and then Piff walked out on stage during the Penn and Teller show. They were really happy.
Yeah.
They were wicked happy.
I was at the show that night. People went wild for Piff.
They love Piff.
Yeah.
And they love Pop.
Yeah.
They love Piff and Pop.
Piff and Pop.
An interviewer said that she'd seen a picture of Pop the Magic Dragon with Piff and said, he looks just like you. And I said to her, I don't have green skin and a tail. Are you crazy? I think you're not seeing the forest for the trees. And trees also were green. And that was a lot of pressure getting that in. But we did okay. Went okay.
Yeah. It went great. It went over really well. It was my first time seeing Penn and Teller since I started studying magic.
Uh-huh.
And I didn't think about that until your show started.
Yeah.
And then I was immediately uncomfortable and upset.
Why is that?
Just like I've never watched your show I try not to watch any magic show for like how the tricks are done. Like that's not what they're designed for, you know.
Now you can't help it.
And so at first I'd say I can't help it. I saw 90% of the show was new that I saw at Penn and Teller, which is what is fucking insane. And then
you know, we had a crew guy who came up with a slogan. It's like Ringo's Hard Day's Night.
Yeah.
He came up with a slogan. He said, Penn and Teller, never the same show once. And sadly, what he means by that is we don't always plan the dive and dive the plan.
I was going to say, eventually you're going to get like Springsteen and E Street Band where you'll take cardboard requests and they'll just pass up the trick. Yeah. To the front of the house.
We're getting very close to that.
You guys want to see Lift Off the Love? This cardboard thing says Lift Off the Love. You guys want to see that?
We also had, because Teller was having trouble with his back, we actually did something that people have requested a lot, but they wouldn't have realized we did it.
Yeah.
Everybody always says, do you guys ever switch roles? We switched roles completely on the hypnotism bit.
Oh, you did?
Because Teller couldn't do a move with his back, so I was doing it.
Oh.
And it's a trick we've done a lot, so man, was it hard. Man, was it hard to see him doing my part and me trying to do his part.
Oh, wow.
Because his part always seemed like it was for the chump in the show. Now, I was doing it. And I might add, not well.
Oh.
But I also just had a talk as though I was doing the other part and do my actions as though I was doing his part.
How many humbling moments is it going to take, Ben, before you give Teller a little credit?
Oh, a lot more than I've had. His part's hard in this.
Yeah.
So you were watching it for the tricks this time.
I didn't mean to. It took me a second to get over that. And then, but that's the thing. It's what I love about your show is that I end up always doing, which I do love, which is that you guys write things inside out. And so.
So you were watching the Selfish.
Yeah.
Going, oh, that's when they're doing that.
Exactly. Yeah. Because that's the first trick you did Selfish. And first time I was watching Selfish there for what? I was like, oh, wait. Oh, I've always. Oh, now I think it's Valve. You know, so.
Jeez, I'm stupid.
Yeah.
No.
Some of it is.
Boy, they're smart.
Okay.
Once again, we've talked about this. You know, I've talked about how you compliment a magician. You do not compliment a magician by going, I'm so stupid, you fooled me. You compliment a magician by going, wow, you know, I usually consider myself pretty good at this, and I have no idea how you did that. You don't go to music and go, you know, you sounded really good.
That's
but
what
I'm
you say the first
really
day. But
up.
The second day when you see it, you go, how come I didn't see that the first time? What's wrong with me? So that's when it's the second day that I'm so stupid. The first day is, wow, you guys are great. Second day is, no, turns out you're not great. I'm an idiot.
Nope, that's not true.
All right.
The reason you don't see it is not because you're an idiot. The reason is because it's crafted more carefully than you thought.
Yeah.
That's what I would say.
Yeah.
You know, when people fool us, they're not fooling us because we're stupid and don't know magic.
That's true.
Yeah. They're fooling us because they've got something that nails us.
Yeah, now he's painted you in a corner, Godot. Anything response is now against him, not the audience.
I know. It doesn't matter what I say.
Now it's a personal attack.
That's okay.
So did you learn anything about your style of magic from watching us?
No, I mean, I the thing is that I like, for instance, Teller gave me a rope routine, and then he had no dialogue for it because he doesn't talk when he performs. So that was the only trick I had to write from scratch when I did it, you know? And the first version of it, Teller did not enjoy, I guess. He just moved on as if I didn't really do it. I explained it to him, and then he just started immediately brainstorming about other ideas of what to do for the trick. And then I rewrote it, and I did things like I do torn and restored rope, and I never say that the rope is put in half, and then I never say that I'm going to put it back together again.
Right.
And so I just talk through other stuff while I do that and giving the audience credit for seeing that the rope's in two pieces and now one again. And Teller saw that and said he didn't have any notes for that.
Oh, good.
You know, and so like, and that to me was like an example of like me learning to kind of get, like, that's the one I'm most happy that like I gave the audience credit for knowing it. They watched it and I got to do other writing, which makes jokes, which is great. You know, so when I go to see you, I just want to do that. There's one trick that I was like, what? They're just throwing away the most impossible thing. You're doing password.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
You guys just are just knowing things left and right. And it's like procedural to get to the end.
Yeah.
And I'm like, what? That's the one that I was like, they know it. They can't believe they know this and they don't even care.
You know, when James Spader came to our show.
Yeah.
We were doing the
magic bullets,
and afterwards, Jimmy Spader took me aside and said, "Listen, Penn, the
magic bullets.
That's the most amazing trick I have ever seen. I've seen a lot of magic, and I've never seen anything like that. It's the most fabulous thing I've ever seen, and you completely throw it away. Nobody realizes how great a trick that is." I said, "You did." He went, "Oh, yeah." You know, I think you want to have that. You want to have nobody else. You know, it's that Gilbert Gottfried thing. You know, no one's laughing except me. Well, that's just not true.
Yeah.
Everybody's laughing, but you feel like you're being respected. You don't get rammed down your throat. It's not situation comedy stuff where you do a big close-up that shows you where you're supposed to laugh and so on.
Yeah. So for the most part, you had a bunch of new stuff that I just laughed my ass off on. I like it. Your show's been very increasingly comedic since I first saw it. Not that it was, you always had funny stuff in, but you also like Flag's an example of one where it's not that comedic, stuff like that. Like those things have, as those things have gone away, they've been replaced usually by something much more comedic. Mm-hmm. And so like, I was really loving how funny the show was.
Oh, thank you.
And for the most part, I just was watching it and enjoying the writing of it. And then that trick and you just got selfishness. I was like, oh, I need to do more. Basically like two or three trick ponies instead of one trick ponies for stuff.
Oh, you mean stuff that builds within the same routine?
Yes. Yeah.
A few more tricks in there. Yeah.
Where there's like multiple things that lead to one payoff. That's a hard thing to contemplate as a new person.
Yeah. That is hard. That is hard to say. Yeah. I'm going to put on top of that. To say you're going to do two hard tricks before you get to your major trick.
Yes.
And you just go, well, I got a major trick. Shut up.
Right.
I don't want to have to do other stuff.
Yeah.
This is hard enough.
Yeah.
And during what we call surveillance, the password trick.
Yeah.
There's such hard mental stuff in that.
I know.
Stuff. My little ant brain is exploding.
And meanwhile, you guys are both kind of like, okay, we got it.
Yeah.
And I'm like, it seems real hard.
Keeping talking while you're doing hard mental stuff is so difficult. You know, I got that new trick in there now called trust.
Yeah.
Where I do a lot of mental gymnastics and memorization and have to keep talking the whole time.
Yeah. Well, I was personally thrilled by two things in the show, selfishly, that you first started working on that trick at the Bucket Show. And to see it and to see it come to fruition in your show is pretty awesome. And you use the word Italian air show in your show, and you just throw it away.
It sometimes gets a big reaction. It didn't go well. It was an Italian air show.
I was just thrilled.
Yeah.
It was a crowning achievement.
I was actually going to ask you permission for that, but didn't get around to it, but thought it was going to be okay.
Yeah.
It's kind of my thing.
Yeah, I'm kind of still using Italian air show.
Yeah.
Be better if you didn't. I'm Michael Goudeau, back from Bucharest.
I am back from Bucharest.
Tell us everything about Bucharest.
Bucharest is fantastic.
You went there alone.
I went there alone.
Tell us about your flight.
It's a long way.
Because you left here, went right to the airport.
Yeah, went straight to the airport and flew for 20 hours to get to.
Now, did you leave your car there at the airport?
No, my wife picked me up and dropped me at the airport.
Okay. So she picked you up here, or did you go home first?
Yeah, picked me up here.
And then you went
straight to the airport, right.
So she dropped you off here last week. They went out and did something.
Did stuff, yeah.
We don't know what.
We don't know. No clues.
Probably a caddy.
Yeah.
And then came back and picked you up.
Took me to the airport and hung around at the airport for a couple hours.
How long were you in the first class lounge there in the airport?
Sorry. You have no idea how bad it went. How poorly the trip was. I got stopped at security.
Well, let's hear everything about
in Frankfurt.
Let's hear about this first.
I got off the plane in Frankfurt.
That's first to do your 20 hours. Was 20 hours on the plane?
Well, 12 hours on the plane to Frankfurt.
Yeah. Did you have a seat to yourself?
The seat to myself, yes, not a row. I did have my own seat.
And
I had an aisle.
How was your pod in your...
All really comfortable, yes.
The flight attendant come and lay it out into a bed for you?
No.
Okay.
No, I shared an elbow with a large German man.
did your USB thing plug in okay?
Yeah, the USB thing did plug in okay. That was pretty good.
Check out
the USB plug, and I watched a movie.
What movie did you watch?
What 12-hour movie did you
Grand
watch?
Grand Budapest Hotel.
Oh, Wes Anderson.
Which is quite good. I enjoyed it. Okay, so I was surprised.
Did you watch it in 1/4 speed?
Yeah.
Get every nuance?
I got every nuance, yes, I did.
What else did you read?
No, I tried to sleep. I did my best to sleep.
Did you sleep?
I slept a little bit.
Did you do any drugs?
Yeah, I did.
What drugs are you doing?
Oxycontin.
Really?
Yeah, really.
Holy shit.
Well, I'd had a heart attack, remember? Remember my fake heart attack?
Yeah.
They gave me Oxycontin for the fake heart attack, and I didn't have anything else to take to sleep on the plane, so I took one of those.
So you were on Hillbilly
Very Hill. Comfortable seat, yeah. It felt like you might as well have been a pod.
That's the truth.
I watched a movie and then slept for 6 hours. It wasn't so bad.
They used to be these big things. What was the amount you took?
What do you mean?
I took these big tablets.
It was pretty big.
It was. You took a whole big tablet.
Yeah, the whole tablet.
Good fucking lord, dude! You took a fucking space shuttle to Frankfurt, is what you took.
I mean, this is essentially a non-druggy show.
Yeah,
and we've got a guy on heavy opiates. Flying to Frankfurt.
You know, I mean, they gave me 20 of them, and that lasts me 2 years. You know what I mean? I'm not exactly addicted.
So far.
Exactly. I was gonna say.
So far, yeah.
Exactly. All of a sudden, Goudeau's going to be like, flew to L.A. the other day, took a whole Oxycontin just to get all the way to Los Angeles on the Southwest flight.
Yeah. And that drive into Sunday school, that sometimes feels long. Oh, boy, you know how I love my sleep number bed.
I
thought I'd put these in before Bucharest, because I think there's going to be a lot of good Bucharest.
There's a lot of
Yeah.
You've heard me talk about my sleep number bed and how great I sleep.
You won't stop talking about it.
I sleep all the time. My sleep number setting is 65. As we go into Fool Us, I'm going to move it down to like 45. So I'm sleeping in a giant, gentle hand.
Yeah,
a soft hand.
How lovely.
Now, maybe you considered a sleep number bed but thought you couldn't afford one. But can you really afford another night of restless sleep? Can you?
No.
No, you can't. We have great news right now during the Ultimate Sleep Number event. You can save 50% on their Ultimate Limited Edition bed. The Sleep Number bed lets you choose your ideal comfort for each side, so it's a perfect bed for couples. Their newest beds are so smart, they actually sense your every move and automatically adjust so you stay sleeping comfortably throughout the night. They even have an adjustment for snoring. Does your bed do that?
No, my wife hits me.
Yeah. My Sleep Number setting is 65, and it also has Sleep IQ.
Sleep IQ!
Sleep Number beds cost about the same as a traditional mattress, last twice as long, and 9 out of 10 owners recommend them. Come in during the Ultimate Sleep Number event and save 50% off on the Ultimate, I said save 50% off, but you know what I mean, Ultimate Limited Edition bed. Plus, queen mattresses start at only $699.99. Sleep Number now has over 550 stores nationwide. Find the one nearest to you at sleepnumber.com/pen. Sleep IQ! What else we got here? Of course. Postage rates have gone up again. Do you believe that? Let stamps.com keep your rates down with postage discounts up to 40%. Discounts you can't even get at the post office. Why isn't that illegal? Stamps.com saves you 3 cents every letter you send. Pay 2016 prices for 2018 stamps. How many things did you send out last time you sent out things?
I sent out like over 150 things.
Over 150 things.
Yeah. Stickers, T-shirts.
You save 3 cents a thing.
Yeah.
That's pretty good.
Oh, absolutely. And on larger things, I saved even more. No, it's true. Like, it's actually more than a few cents. Like, you know, whatever cents, what does a stamp go through now? 75 cents or something like that?
I don't know.
Yeah. But all of a sudden, you actually just weigh it, and then it prints out the postage, and it was something like 48 cents to mail the stickers I was mailing out. And so, it was significant.
Then your mail carrier just picked them up.
Yeah.
And you know how we love your mail carrier.
I know. I got to call them up. I was kind of waited out. I was like, oh, do you like this? Let me talk to you about this coffee I'm drinking. Oh, I have an extra cup here. You know, that kind of stuff.
Sure. Just use stamps.com to automatically calculate and print the correct amount of postage for every letter or package you send. Stamps.com brings all the services of the U.S. Post Office right to your fingertips. Buy and print official U.S. postage for any letter, any package, any class of mail, using your own computer and printer. And then the mail carrier picks it up. No more trips to the post office. They send you a digital scale to automatically calculate exact postage. It's so easy. Stamps.com will even help you decide the best class of mail based on your needs. Anything you can do at the post office, you can do right at your desk with Stamps.com. We use Stamps.com because why would you use anything else? It's perfect. And right now, you too can enjoy the Stamps.com service with a special offer that includes a 4-week trial plus postage and a digital scale. Go to Stamps.com, click on the microphone at the top of the homepage, and type in
pen.
That's Stamps.com. Enter
pen.
Did we just move into the realm of presidential politics? Nobody in the room knows how much a stamp cost or a loaf of bread?
We don't buy stamps for bread. Why don't you ask me what kale costs?
The truth is that they all have forever. You know, like now, like you always get the forever stamp so that no matter what you're paying for it, it won't change. And so because of that, I don't know. I buy a book of forever stamps.
Forever is exactly how long it's been since I've used a stamp.
Our office.
Yeah.
I don't know what
mails everything. Yeah.
Mail everything. So the Oscars are coming up. You watch the Oscars?
I'm going to watch them.
Have you seen this movie, Call Me By Your Name?
I have not yet.
It's a very big deal.
Yeah.
Very big deal at the Oscars. You know this company, Omaze?
This is a great
thing. I do know about Omaze.
This is fantastic.
Has some Oscar-related experiences right now. Have you heard about Omaze? You all have.
I'm in on two contests Omaze is running already.
You are?
I want to be you can be in the South Park writers' room.
Wow.
Which I'm trying. I paid to enter tickets to that. And, of course, there's the final Springsteen Broadway performances. They're doing stuff for that,
too. Of course you're in it for both of those.
Yeah.
They offer up a once-in-a-lifetime experiences you can't find anywhere else, and all you have to do is support a great cause for your chance to win. Donate as little as $10.
Yeah, it's crazy.
It's amazing. It's also all causes you'd give money to anyway.
That's exactly it.
So it's free money. A winner trip to L.A. to get behind the scenes at the Dolby Theater to watch the Oscar show rehearsal. You'll get a photo op with host Jimmy Kimmel, walk the red carpet, and get some Oscar swag, too.
Yeah.
That's a good one. Or you can attend a private pre-Oscars party with the cast of Call Me By Your Name.
Oh, that's so cool.
You'll enjoy a dinner and share a celebrity toast with Timothy and Army, the lead actor. So
Army Hammer, yeah.
Yeah.
It's a sexy motherfucker, that guy.
You can check out all the experiences Omaze is offering by visiting Omaze, you know how to spell this, omaze.com/podcast. That's omaze.com/podcast. Enter your own chance to win. Don't forget to use the promo code
PEN
to double your chances of winning. And rest easy knowing that if you aren't the lucky winner, it's all for a good cause. Omaze, what a good company.
That's a cool thing.
Are why so did you super think smart. Of that?
I don't know, but they're so well connected. But yeah, there's ones that you can co-host on Conan. There's like all this crazy program.
Crazy
there's,
stuff.
Yeah, it's awesome.
Really good.
So,
12-hour flight to Frankfurt.
The junkie.
Yeah.
I wake up, I'm in Frankfurt. Couldn't believe
naked
it.
Naked lunch.
You want to know how bad it was? I went through security
in
Frankfurt.
Yeah.
I'm going through security in Frankfurt. I've emptied my pockets. I've got nothing. The electronic machine stops me.
Now, wait a minute. You were checked in Frankfurt?
Well, I had to go through Frankfurt. I had to go through security again in Frankfurt.
Oh, I had to go through security again. You're not in an inside safe zone?
Yeah, you are, but somehow they have an extra layer of security. So
okay.
I'm going through it, and I'm explaining to the guy, I have artificial hips. Your metal detector is going to go off. I go through, and he looks at it, and he goes, no, it's more than the hips. I have to examine you. And they start examining me, and they're checking my hips and stuff. And he shows me on the machine where something has showed up on this that I'm carrying some kind of metal. And I turn around and stuck on the back of my pants is the lid of one of those little, like a strawberry jelly package, a little foil that's in my drugged haze.
Do you know how
somehow sat.
How high do you have to be to have a strawberry jam package stuck to your ass and not know it?
There you go. So, yeah, he said, he kind of laughed and pointed at it, and I pulled it off, and he let me through security.
How long were you in the first-class lounge in Frankfurt?
You know, I didn't have much time in Frankfurt. I only had a five-hour layover, so I didn't have much time to get to the first-class lounge.
So you just sat out in the...
I laid on the floor, yeah. I laid down on the floor in my face.
With your, in your drug haze, with strawberry jam stuck to
I was
your
okay
ass.
By then. I had recovered fully by that point. So, yeah, 5 hours there, and then flew a couple hours to...
What'd you do for your 5 hours?
Nothing. It's the airport. I sat there.
Did you
looked
eat?
At stuff on my phone. No, I didn't eat anything in Frankfurt.
What'd you eat on the plane?
On the plane, it was not particularly good. I don't remember.
Well, something.
Oh wait,
was
no, it was. It was. It was because it was a German flight. There were sausages. I had sausages on the flight.
You ate sausages.
I ate sausages.
Did they grill them in the back? Was like the fumes come out?
Yeah, it was so good. Sausages and mustard. No, and
you hadn't
and
had
coleslaw.
Meat. You hadn't had meat in a long
not
time.
Not a while.
Yeah.
So it was pretty good to have sausages. And
how
mustard.
Those? How those sausages?
They were good because you know the German ones kind of have a little crunch to them. You know.
Yeah.
Nice, good intestinal coverage on them. I don't know what they're using for it, but. It's
good intestinal
cats.
Coverage, huh? Eat up.
When you're on Oxycontin.
Yeah. And somehow.
How's the intestinal coverage on this?
Hey.
I don't care. I can't feel my teeth.
I like that crunch.
I see
like
the greatest crunch. Minds of my generation destroyed by madness. I'll have another sausage and put some strawberry jam on my ass. Because I'm having a good flight. I want sausage in my mouth and strawberry jam on my ass. Look out, Frankfurt. Here I come. Michael Godeau story.
That's right.
Mike Godeau.
Maybe if I flew first class, I wouldn't need Oxycontin and strawberries on my ass.
You might not. But in first class, they have it in the air.
Yeah, exactly.
But we are going to finish up now and then go back to Bucharest
right.
on Wednesday. That was Penn Sunday School.
That was Penn Sunday School.
Cha, cha, cha. You become naked with strawberry jam on your ass. Yeah, next week, I mean Wednesday, we're going to have more talk of Godeau in Bucharest and talk of me joining Cirque du Soleil.
Oh, that's right.
And then some other week, I don't know when, we're going to talk to David Wayne, but that's a prank show.
Yeah.
You know, you're very, very safe, and we love you.
Hey, everybody, Jason Ellis here from the Jason Ellis Show podcast, reminding you that my podcast, new episodes every Wednesday, downloadable where all podcasts are available. come see my friends, Michael and Kevin, as we talk to you about what's awesome, what sucks, fitness, farting, parenting, life, spin kicks, LGBTQ community, how to defend yourself against a shark if it attacks you out of nowhere, and much, much more. So come join us.